Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the new moon in Aries that occurred last night on April 15th at 9:57 Eastern Standard Time, and is a great time for a new beginning. Listen as we discuss some possibilities for this fifth house lunation to help with a fresh start. In this show, some of the major aspects of the event will be explored as opportunities. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. Get the light in your soul to understand spiritual activity. So Swami, let's begin and start off, but maybe explaining to our listeners the definition of Aries and what it means astrologically speaking. What can you tell us about it?
Well, Aries is a zodiacal sign, and possibly as you know, that the zodiac is a band of constellations that surround our universe. And Aries is the first sign of that zodiac in the natural zodiac. And mythologically, Aries was considered the god of war. Aries is a pretty active zodiacal sign, and it's really well known for its activity and initiating of doing things. And so to have a new moon, a new beginning in that zodiacal sign, I think is a little bit maybe more motivating. That particular new moon that we had last night was conjunct Uranus. And Uranus really is the power of the creative principle. It really brings the opportunity of new insights for us. It can be experienced as unexpected change, but it again is a known planet to bring activity into our lives. And then that same lunation is square Pluto. And Pluto is the planet for transformation, renewal, regeneration, and restorations. So I look at all of these transits always as an opportunity for us to understand ourselves spiritually, because that's primarily our goal in Kriya Yoga. Is this union of the individual with the divine. These particular aspects, I think, can be really helpful for us to try and understand ourselves spiritually. The other aspect that I kind of like that accompanies this lunation is Venus is opposition Jupiter, and that's a sixth house, 12th house opposition. Here's a real opportunity for us to really try and look at our personal interests and how they could possibly be in conflict with our highest aspirations. A big part of the spiritual journey is always giving up this personal sense of I for a impersonal sense of spiritual selfhood. And so with that particular aspect, there might be some sort of motivation for us to get out of what's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known, and embark on the anxiety, the uncertainty of the unknown.
We may have some listeners out there that might be curious to know if the new moon is in Aries, and say there's somebody that is actually born into the sign of Aries, Do those people have, I don't want to use the word advantage, but is there Are they going to feel the effects maybe a little bit differently than those of us who may not be born in the Aries sign?
Yeah, these particular transits, they affect everybody individually based on, like you say, where does that fall in my chart? Because if you were born close to this particular day, this particular lunation could fall on your natal sun, which is the incentive for each and every one of us to express the self, to understand ourselves spiritually. That would have a particular effect. But then it really is going to depend where that falls in your chart. And the biggest variable is how receptive you are to this concept, because it's your level of consciousness, your degree of awareness, that really kind of helps us determine where we are in our development.
So in the summary, we said we're discussing some of the possibilities for this fifth house lunation to help with a fresh start. Can you review for our listeners the fifth house?
Yeah, the fifth house is your house of play, fun, recreation, what we do for entertainment. And also, I really like that concept of recreation, how we recreate ourselves on a regular basis, redefining ourselves continuously, keeping up with the changes of everyday living.
So you're saying that now is a good time for us to maybe find what it is that we are passionate about, and not only that, but then maybe find ways that we can recreate ourselves. And then I'm thinking even deeper still, to do that spiritually and to recreate ourselves in God's image.
Well, at least to acknowledge that we are created in God's image, because we really don't create anything for ourselves. Pretty much everything has been laid out for us. It's a matter of us discovering what is already there, is the way the process works.
Now, I know when we have our Siri 2 class we hold on Thursday nights, we work with the labyrinth, and I know we do talk about the Aries, so that is part of the meditation. Can you maybe explain to our listeners what that is all about, working with the labyrinth?
Yeah, the labyrinth is an ancient tool that we use to balance our chakras, but to really understand ourselves in the way that we're created, and then a way of putting awareness in different departments of our lives. And when you enter the labyrinth, you're going to enter the labyrinth at the third path, which corresponds to Manipuraka chakra, Mars at the solar plexus center. The zodiacal sign is Aries, and it's the first house in this particular configuration. And so some of the things that we focus on are the key phrase, which is I am becoming, the key attribute, I am brave, the key system, which is your muscular system. We focus on the twin characteristic, the ability to fight versus peace. And then an affirmation that we use, I will always fight with spiritual weapons in order to bring peace to the earth. As we start to unbox this, I think it would be important to first of all to look at the whole thing of the ability to fight versus peace, because Aries was considered to be the god of war. And then this whole thing of, well, what is a spiritual weapon? The greatest weapon we have against discord and conflict is prayer. And when I talk about prayer, I'm talking about communion with the divine, or unity consciousness. When we lift ourselves back into the unified state, from that perspective, there is no other, because we're all one. When we see ourselves in the presence of divine unity, that revelation that happens to us lifts everybody else's consciousness. And so one of the things that's always talked about is this concept of praying for your enemy. And if you really think about it, if praying for your enemy means seeing them as God's image and likeness, as being at one with divine law, seeking expression, helps them see themselves in this light. And when we see ourselves as an intricate part of this living fabric of the universe, we recognize that we're all one. And the same soul that's animating me is animating you. And at that point of revelation, the war is over.
Now, when you say, I will always fight with spiritual weapons in order to bring peace to the earth, and some of the readings we've been doing, we've been talking about our wish for things to happen, or we're trying to manipulate like an end result. In this case, we're talking about peace. So if we do that, aren't we kind of doing God's job for him? Like, I don't think he needs our help.
Right. And basically, as we start to really unlock this whole thing, what we're trying to do is we're really trying to understand ourselves spiritually. And just like what you said, when we're asking for things, we're actually living from a perspective of effect, as we are living from the view of the creation. And there's really no power there. And we really don't have any sense of ability to control much from the effect. So what we really want to try and do is we want to try and realign ourselves with cause. And that's what we've been talking about, is this whole thing of the role of the causal spiritual body and how divine law is really the cause of all creation. And so the more that we understand ourselves spiritually, the more that we get behind this divine law, which actually is just peace, love, happiness, and goodness. And once we have the realization that that is who we are, that that is true reality, and what we're experiencing as effect is really a counterfeit of that. It is a oftentimes misinterpreted understanding of perfect creation. And so it's that human effect that we really have to try and overcome. And like you said, part of that is not asking for things, not seeing ourselves as separate from divine law, but seeing ourselves in the light of the presence of divine law is what true prayer really is.
So if we wanted to actually pray for peace, how would we do that with the divine qualities?
Well, again, just by seeing the presence of divine law and seeing that it is encircling the universe and humanity and it's filling all space, that dispels all of the error, all of the discord, all of the inharmonious conditions that most of us are witnessing from the perspective of this false sense of existence in the effect.
All right, great. So I think here's a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll return with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul. In
and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I'd like to get back and talk about Aries, the god of war. And I'm curious to know, as we talked about praying as well, so how does praying for your enemy, how does that stop war?
Okay, by praying, we're really talking about communion with the divine. By seeing another as the image and likeness of divine lifts them up into what we call the unified field, and enables them to see the oneness of existence. All right, now remember, in Kriya Yoga, we use a three-body system: physical body, astral mental body, and a causal spiritual body. So this causal spiritual body is the unified field. The mental and the physical aspects are dualistic, that everything is in half. As we start to evolve and move beyond sensual perception, and we start to understand that we are eternal spiritual beings, in this identity of ourselves being spiritual, there's no conflict. When we see ourselves in duality, which is more like a hypnotic state that we're in, we have a belief in two powers. And that keeps us kind of embroiled in this very limited understanding of existence. Once we rise above that and we start to see the unity, we start to see the oneness of all, our perception changes, but so does our identity. As we continue with the Aries myth or the Aries theme, is an important thing that we want to look at. I am becoming is the key phrase that we use for Aries. And so the concept of I am is really creator and creation, cause and effect. Once we start to understand that cause and effect is how creation is truly taking place, then we can start to lift ourselves out of the duality, this ongoing battle between good and evil, right and wrong. We rise above the cycle of what's called death and rebirth. But in reality, the Aries theme is really about filling the world with loving kindness. So how is this god of war filling the world with loving kindness? And I think the key here is that cruelty is a sign of weakness. We expect kindness only from the strong. Bravery is a big part of the virtue that is associated with Aries. Understanding the real meaning behind I am, the Aries myth of becoming in reality, in true reality, there is only one. And so the I am is a fact of divine egoism, for everything is God. One mind, and I am is cause and effect, God and man, perfect God, perfect man. And that gives us this whole concept of the creator revealing itself through creation.
Okay, Swami, so let's delve a little bit deeper regarding creation.
Okay, let me see if I can do this. And I'll start with the original sin, where the human is born into the realms of duality. And we have accepted a belief of good and evil. And from this moment on, mind begins forming itself in forms of good and evil. The mind produces its own image and likeness. And as we let our minds be filled with superstitions, ignorance, fear, and all of these human beliefs of good and evil, That is what your mind produces in your experiences. It becomes a life of holy comforts and pleasures, or sin, sickness, disease, suffering, and death. Now, on the other side of this whole thing, spirit is the original and basic creative principle, the substance of life. In initiation and the process of apotheosis, where mind separates from duality and rejoins with spirit, then mind becomes the instrument through which this creative activity takes place. Mind becomes an instrument of the creative intelligence of the universe. Therefore, when the mind is open to receive the divine impulses, out comes harmony, health, wealth, perfect forms, infinite forms, and eternal forms. Here, the mind produces its own image and likeness. Right? Because how we think is what we become. In yoga, the term is aham brahmasmi. I am the creative principle. When mind is turned on to and used as the instrument of spirit, man is God's idea, God's reflection, made in the image and likeness. And here, perfect God, perfect man.
So I just want to clarify, we're not talking about us being able to create our futures or manifesting for things that we want. We're talking about creating this relationship with our divinity. Would that be right?
Well, what we're basically looking at is that there seems to be two possibilities for existence, that we can exist on a human level in this kind of hypnotic state where we see ourselves as separate entities and we are dealing with the forces of good and evil. But there's also this option that comes with what was called self-realization, enlightenment, where the human can now rebirth themselves. They can actually awaken into divine likeness. And that's a whole different mode of operation. And it's very different than what we're accustomed to with our first birth as human beings.
You mentioned living in hypnotism. So what does that look like? Like, if somebody wanted to know, am I living that way? How would they know?
Well, a lot of that comes with our attachment to the changing conditions of our personal mentality. So anything that really is being reported through the testimony of our senses, if our sense of self is established from that base of understanding, then we have basically material beliefs. And you have to be careful, because some people think that one of the major indicators would be discord. Because if you're living your life in harmony with divine law, then all you know is peace, love, happiness, goodness, perfect health. We can experience these things on a human level. So again, we can be in a false sense of existence, and we're getting some of the pleasures and profits of the world, but we don't understand ourselves spiritually. And that's one of the things oftentimes that happens. That's where von Goethe said, "None are more hopelessly in prison than those who falsely believe they're free." So you can't really always go by our judgment of where it is that we think we're okay.
All right, so how do we know that we're being spiritual?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's the Pluto square Uranus, I think. The whole thing of, have we transformed? Have we risen above the testimony of our senses? How do we react to the changing conditions of our personal mentality In order for us to be truly spiritual, we must reflect spiritual qualities. And so the more harmony that we experience, the more kindness, the more love and peace, and just a genuine sense of wholeness that permeates your entire experience when you're spiritual, because you're not in the battleground of the two forces anymore. You're not in duality. You're in the unified state, the concept of the kingdom of heaven, where things are absolute goodness. So there's absolutely no fear. There's no discord. There's nothing like jealousy or anger or frustration. That everything is just peace, love, happiness, and goodness. That would probably be the best indicator that I could give you that I know of.
So we want to analyze ourselves on a daily, hourly, minute basis, and we want to assess the fact, are we executing these divine qualities, let's just say 100% of the time, regardless of what's going on in the world around us?
Yeah, that seems to be a tough order, but that's what the Yoga Sutras kind of recommend, this concept of constant detachment and continuous control of the thought variations. And by having this internal connection with the divine, coming back to the unified state, coming back to the dimension of reality that is invisible and intangible, that doesn't really affect the lower mind, that is what produces this stillness, this calmness. Because basically, all we're seeing is perfect creation. That becomes your sole source of stimuli. And once you acquire a taste for that, then going back to the swirling variations of duality kind of loses its appeal, I want to say, like the temptation to go back to what I would consider to be just normal chaos of human living is not quite so attractive once you have tasted the divine life.
And so for most of us, I'm going to say that's also a tall order, because some of us have not experienced that. So we don't know that there is something even better that awaits us.
And that's the whole thing of, again, trying to educate ourselves. What is human potential? And what does it look like when we're actualizing it, when we're doing it? Because we really don't have good leadership out there. And so there are a lot of shams and delusions that are taken for the soundest truths. But one of the major things, I think, is when you introduce healing into the equation, that now you have something that you can really work with, so that you have a concrete answer for that question, what does it look like when I'm spiritual? And you understand that you have all of the qualities that would be associated with perfect God.
Well, I think that's a great note to end our program for this morning. So, listeners, I'd like to invite you out there to please visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can make comments about this show or give us ideas for future shows. And if you want to access some of the archived radio shows on the homepage, you can find Swami Says recent post. There's a few there listed there for your continued learning experiences. So, but do keep those comments and questions coming. We do enjoy hearing from you. And also be sure to check out our Facebook Live episodes that we air every Wednesday about 5:00 Eastern Standard Time. So be sure to tune in next week. I believe we're going to be celebrating Earth Day. So Swami, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I do hope everybody takes advantage of these new insights on transformation with this particular new moon that we had last night. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.